Welcome to Feldman World
Talk Radio.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and happy Wednesday night. This is Feldman World Review, and I'm Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review. I want to thank you for tuning in. The chat room's open. Phones will be open in about 20, 30 minutes, 515-605-9344. That's 515-605-9344. Call in. I'll give you like a whole 2 minutes to say what you want to say and see where it goes. But thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. There's always too many things to talk about, too many things that are relevant and pertinent to talk about. There's too many to fit into this hour. But there's a few things that really stood out to me today that I wanted to talk about. And the first one, before I really get going, I mean, are you guys about done with Fox? I mean, except for Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and then Laura Ingraham, those three in a row. I can't even watch anymore. Fox is just dead to me, completely dead. And, you know, I try to go to Newsmax. Newsmax needs to get an infusion of funds and get some on-site reporters and a little more video. And, you know, you're taking you know, internet bloggers and radio guys and, you know, giving them shows. And, you know, Spicer, it was great. Greg Kelly's there. I'm glad about that on Newsmax. And I want Newsmax. If I leave the TV on, they put on Newsmax so they get the Nielsen count, you know. Maybe they can get some more advertising money and do some of the improvements I'm talking about. but you know, today, I thought it was really embarrassing. I don't know if you guys saw the Martha McCallum segment today. I didn't see the whole thing. But I did see the section where she brought in I neglected to write his name down and didn't have it when I went on the air. But she had a guy that was a Black Lives Matter a motivator or a thought leader or something like that. And she was trying to get tough with him and hard questions. And he was like, you know, he really handed it to her as far as I was concerned. She wasn't prepared. I don't think she really understands. You know, I got the feeling she really doesn't understand what's going on here, you know, with our Marxist Islamist coalition and what their plans are and what their plan has been. I mean, you could look at the 77 when they murdered the entire Israeli Olympic team. You could take all the times during the 70s that the Baader-Meinhof gang was blowing people up and shooting people. You could talk about all the times the things that the PLO and the terrorists have done. And then you got the Weather Underground here, right, Roy Ayers? Roy Ayers was a great jazz player. Bill Ayers, you know, Weather Underground. Then you had Black Bloc and Antifa and all these, you know. It's she doesn't really get it, what's going on. This is a full-scale Marxist Islamist revolution. And these guys are really serious, you know. You know, last night... Steve Harrigan, he was on site by the Wendy's in Atlanta, and he was talking to these guys with guns and masks on, and you know, it's pretty crazy what's going on, you know. But Martha McCallum has this guy from Black Lives Matter on, and he's trying to say, you know, she had tried to bring up something that he had said that, you know, for violence, and you know that they were all about violence and whatever it was going to take, and they were going to burn it down. And then he was trying to back off like a good Marxist liar would. He started, you know, saying things like, you know, well, you know, figuratively burn it down and figuratively this and figuratively that. And he was going back and forth with her, and he literally got her to admit that Jesus Christ is not white. She said something about how everybody's, you know, imagery of Jesus is different or whatever. But, you know, the guy really controlled the thing because she doesn't really know what she was dealing with. She wasn't ready for the interview, you know. But her and Bret Baier just kind of make me sick, you know. They loved you know, doing that the town hall with Bernie Sanders. They were like giggling through the whole freaking thing. And they seemed to be having a grand old time at the Democrat debates where all they did was, you know, they spent a lot of time bashing Trump or whatever. Who's going to out-Trump Trump? And, you know, then they tried to attack each other. You know, and, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. They love those debates, but I'm so disappointed in Fox. They're just not living up to it. You know, I'm not going to go Alex Jones on everybody, you know, but there's a movement, there's a war on, it's a cultural civil war. And, you know, wrote this thing today. Just want to read real quick. The progressive Democrat socialist rhinos and mainstream media and Hollywood played with the truth for so long that now we have a Marxist-Islamist coalition insurrection in our streets. You know, their intent is to destroy America and the history of America. They're burning, they're smashing, they're beating, intimidating, shooting, looting, defacing. This is no longer a political battle. This has become an ethical and moral battle. This has become a life and death-like battle. You know, the big mob that's out there today, they're not protesters. You know, these are the soldiers of this cultural civil war. And we the people have reached a line in the sand of when should we or do we stand? You know, and we have to. It's outrageous what's going on just around the country. Now, like a lot of people have said, if people want to, you know, come to an agreement about a statue and take it down, if it doesn't fit the proper image of what a community wants to be or what they want to say politically, you know, then they should take it down. But this is not about that. They've hijacked racial inequality, okay? They have hijacked it, and they're using it as an emotional motivator to get people, just like the hate of Jews motivated so many Germans, you know, to come out and smash glass and smash windows and burn buildings and beat people up in the street, you know, the way they did in Germany to intimidate the Jewish populations until they started loading all of us Jews off into cattle cars. They were attacked violently, similarly to Antifa, similarly. You know, is it Nazi youth? Is it the Waffen-SS, something in the middle? But the violence is there. And not enough people are understanding it, or they're asking questions like, well, why are they doing this, and why are they in the street, and why are they doing that, and why did they knock the head off of Christopher Columbus? You know, this war's been going on. You can go back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, this Marxist revolution uniting. At the time, it was kind of like the September group. You know, it was kind of like the Antifas, the European Marxist revolutionaries joined hands with the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And it's been going on ever since. You know, all the attacks, the hijackings of planes, people being blown up in restaurants, on buses, the threat is there. You know, you had your American versions, right? There was the SLA, there was the Weather Underground, the SDS was really the precursor, you know, the Students for Democratic Socialism. So, you know, it's been around a long time. You know, the battle over the Second Amendment, we've been going through this for decades now, right? The battle over the Second Amendment, the attempt to end the Electoral College, releasing prisoners into the population, that's kind of a new one. The fight over national health care, socialist health care, the Green New Deal, the war on fossil fuels, nuclear power and coal. So they want to take away the fossil fuels, they don't want to build any nuclear reactors, and they don't want you to burn coal. So what are we going to do? You know, in the Boy Scouts, we used to take roll-up newspaper, dip it in wax, so we were out in the winter outside. We were doing winter hiking. You could use that to get some wood going. You know, I don't know. But, you know, then you need matches. Maybe those would be illegal, too. And how can you light it? You know, they ship jobs to China, Mexico, Southeast Asia, anywhere they could ship the jobs to. And now we got defunding the police, destroying the remnants of history, the COVID-19 lockdown system. which was a total invasion. You know, if anything, it's the reason why I want to form the referendum party to replace all these parties. And the referendum party would mean this. When the government wanted to cut taxes or add taxes, there would have to be a national referendum done by county. And, you know, that's the only way. We cannot we elect these officials to go to Washington to protect our borders, to protect the citizens, to create a good climate for business, interstate commerce and all the rest of it, you know, the commerce clauses, everything else. And there, it's just not, you know, it's not going there. We went through Russiagate, we went through the Ukraine betrayal, the impeachment, you know. Now they're claiming that Trump went to China and asked for election help. I mean, the lies just continue. This twisting of history continues. It's undermining debate. It's undermining the understanding that we're all in this and that people add their part and can add their part. You know, this BLM guy that was spinning Martha McCallum around in circles, he was just saying, you know, they just want what they want and that's it. By any means, at the end of the interview, he was going, by any means necessary. You know, I believe in this kind of conflict. You know, he was kind of trying to be, you know, the tough revolutionary that he wants to be perceived as at the end. After he was trying to mince words, I mean, they want to burn it all down. They want to kill honkies. They want to kill anybody that gets in their way. I mean, that's what they want to do. You know, and it's a combination. It's Antifa. It's only Black Lives Matter. It's CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, with the money flowing in from guys like Soros and others, many others are putting money into this. I think cumulatively, I thought I saw a report today that like over $1 billion has been raised for Black Lives Matter, which is not focusing on the racial conflict they're using for the emotional response and violence. You know, they want to bring about Marxism. You know, this isn't some insane theory. This is what they want. This is what they say. This is what they've been working for decades and decades and decades. You know, back in the 50s, I think it was Khrushchev. I could be wrong. If anybody knows that I'm wrong, let me know. Khrushchev said that you can't just attack America and take America that way because behind every bush is an American with a rifle. And that was a great thing about us. We were the army. You know, we were, you know, the community brigade. And you weren't just going to come running into the United States and a conventional war wasn't going to be as effective. You know, it was like the Americans running around in Vietnam. The Vietnamese were in their home. They were in their home. So it was very different when you know the terrain. It's just been... It's unbelievable, but I think there's not enough people that are understanding how far along this has come. You know, we have sat around, we've watched our cities being burned down. We've watched businesses being destroyed after a very lengthy lockdown where they were shut down, where it was almost criminal. It was criminal in a lot of cases to work, to want to go to work, to open your business, to sell your products, and you couldn't be a consumer. You weren't allowed to go and buy anything. You couldn't be out. I mean, it's unbelievable. And what are they, you know, what are they doing now, these crazy people? Oregon County issued a face mask order that exempts white people. Okay? And this is from the Geller Report. It says, Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-whites. Health officials announced last week residents must wear coverings in public settings where they may come within 6 feet of another individual who is not from the same household. But people of color do not have to follow the new rule if they have heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment over wearing the masks, officials said. No person shall intimidate or harass people who do not comply, the health official said. With mask requirements becoming more common, activists have raised concerns that the directives could put non-white people in danger. I mean, can this stuff start to get any more insane? insane than it already is. But, you know, we have to figure out how to stand up. Our leaders are inept. The Republican leadership, McConnell, has always been inept, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to fighting. He might understand the Constitution and the process in the Congress and the Senate, but he doesn't seem to really know what's going on half the time. And Kevin McCarthy seems to try, at least he tweets a lot. He tweets a lot of good stuff. I just don't see anything happening. No one's standing up for America. No one's standing up for American history. Some of the claims by the protesters are true. Sometimes there is unnecessary violence by police officers. Sometimes there's it's not just a situation where an officer is being physically attacked and has to react, but there are times when there's been problems. A lot of those, especially the last 30 or 40 years, policemen have been getting, you know, fired and arrested and going to court and being convicted of crimes. I mean, they have been. And so there's a reasoned way of doing it, but they don't want reason. They don't want to make America better, just like the Democrats don't when they rejected that bill today. They don't want to make America any better. They want to destroy the foundations of this country. This country has become the emotional target to bring the power to the people that want it. Now, the Democrats, a lot of people think the Democrats are pulling the strings. I don't believe that's the case. I think the Democrats are trying to do what they always do. They're virtue signaling. They get out there, they say, we're going to take care of you. Oh, we should have done this right. We're going to do it right now. You know, just keep voting for me. You know, the white billionaire that lives in Napa Valley, and you just keep voting for me, and everything's going to be fine. And they've done nothing for these people at all. And I think these people, the people that are part of this insanity, they know that, and they're using that emotionalism as well. The disenfranchised in the poor communities, in the African-American communities, in the Latino communities, in the just these crazy communities, and then you got all these white people. Black Lives Matter seems more majority white to me, as far as membership goes, and followers and people that are pushing it. And some of the founders of the different offices are not African-American. Antifa, it looks like it's all white. And these are just pure up, straight up, I'm sure it isn't, but they're just pure, straight up Marxists. But this has been coming for a long time. This is nothing new, and nobody should be surprised. And the fact that the Democrat governors and mayors particularly let this get so far along as it is today, as it is right now, it's frightening. It's frightening. You know? And it's like you're going to call 911 and it's going to go do-do-do. The number you have dialed, 911, has been changed to a non-published number. But anyway, some good news today was the appeals court. The appeals court reviewed what was going on with Judge Sullivan in the lower court, and the appeals court has now directed Sullivan to dismiss the charges against Michael Flynn. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of technical things, and Flynn's attorney was on before, Sidney Powell, and she was saying that maybe this isn't going to be exactly the way we wanted it in terms of justice, but this is a big step. This is a big step. But more and more information has been coming out about Barack and Susan Rice and Joe Biden and the other actors. We know the FBI actors. You know, we know some of the State Department actors. We know the CIA actor, Mr. John, the actor Brennan. You know, we've seen that what's his name? I want to forget his name. Clapper. But Sean Davis and Molly Hemingway had an article titled "Explosive New FBI Notes Confirm Obama Directed the Anti-Flynn Operation." And newly released notes confirm President Barack Obama's key role in the surveillance and leak operation against Michael Flynn, the incoming Trump administration national security advisor. The handwritten notes were first disclosed in a federal court filing made by the Department of Justice on Tuesday, show President Obama himself personally directed former FBI Director James Comey and former Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates to investigate Flynn for having routine phone calls with a Russian counterpart. He also suggests they withhold information from President Trump and his key national security figures. Oh, that's innocent, right? Was that for his own good? That's because Trump is such an incredible Nazi threat. They are out of their minds. This Trump derangement syndrome, whatever you want to call it. You know, I've been talking about it a lot. I watched the left the last 3 weeks marching, burning, looting, fighting, lighting cars on fire, attacking the police, hurting police officers, killing some police officers. It's been absolutely ridiculous. What the hell is going on? Right? And, you know, this is the theater, this is the direction of where they're going. But all these things that have been going on are all part of this. You know, Barack Obama has much to blame about this burning and fire that's going on right now than he does about surveilling the president. Now, the president, they say he's a Nazi, he's xenophobic, he hates women, he hates Latinos, he hates Mexicans, he's crass, he's stupid. They say all these things about him. And I'm watching these people protesting because ultimately this is all about the election. The Democrats think they can steer all of this violence and control it. And I think that they're going to be in for a rude awakening, and I think there's already been some incidents that show that rude awakening that the Democrats are going to have when this blows up in their face. These people are fighting a man that doesn't exist. Donald Trump is not the image that these people on the left, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, CARE, the Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, they have this image that they use of Trump, that they say Trump is these things, which he's not. So they're fighting against somebody that doesn't exist, and they're fighting against something that doesn't exist, because I don't think there's systematic racism in our police force like there was in the Democrat South of 50 years ago. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's bands of white people running around hunting down African Americans, hunting down Muslims, hunting down transvestites. I do not believe that's the case. Transgenders, excuse me. I don't think that's the case. The one thing I do know is that the number one hate crime in the last 4 or 5 years is attacks on Jews. Whether you're talking in the United States or you're talking in Europe, the number one hate crime in Canada, in Toronto, it's one of the number one hate crimes in Canada, the number one. It's number one all around. They never talk about that, but they talk about this false narrative. False narrative. So they're fighting against a man that doesn't exist. They're fighting against issues that don't exist. And when you come with a reasoned response, a reasoned bill, the way Tim Scott did, and they just reject it out of hand, they think they can ride this burning train to this victory in November. And this is going to blow. The Democrats are going to pay a price for this, for supporting this, for emboldening this. And not taking care of it when they should have taken care of it. That's for sure. But these handwritten notes now from fired former FBI agent Peter Strzok appeared to describe a January 5th, 2017 meeting right before he had to walk out and go home. It was an Oval Office meeting between Obama, Vice President Joe Biden. I can't remember anything, and I don't remember that, and I didn't do it. Biden, Mr. Plagiarizer. Jim Comey, Yates, and then National Security Advisor Susan Rice. The meeting and its substance were confirmed in a bizarre Inauguration Day email Rice wrote to herself. It was at this meeting, which was confirmed by testimony from Comey and Yates, that Obama gave guidance to key officials who would be tasked. So he did it. He knew. He knew all along. Like, we knew it back then, right, folks? We knew it. When we saw this in action, we knew that this has to tie right back. You know, because he bought a house, he set up shop, he hired people, he formed the OFA, Organization for Advancing Obama's Theories. And it's been, you know, organizing for Obama's bank account, organizing for Obama's theory. Okay, but he's not alone. He's probably just one of the puppets. You know, he's probably just one of the puppets. Anyway, But they knew. They knew all along. The whole thing's been a hoax. It was a hoax. You know, people always said, oh, no, he's been dealing. No, Michael Flynn went to jail, and Roger Stone's going to go to jail, and all these guys have been wrong, and Paul Manafort went to jail over things that had nothing to do with that he had done a decade earlier. Manafort. It was terrible what they did to him, too. They sent the same SWAT team they sent to Stone's house. You know, it's insane. It's really insane. And hang on 1 second. I'm going to hit some music here and I'll be right back.
Many people think that the best way to escape war is to dwell upon its horrors and to imprint them vividly upon the minds of the younger generation. They flaunt the grisly photographs before their eyes. They fill their ears with tales of carnage. They dilate upon the ineptitude of generals and admirals. They denounce the crime and insensate folly of human strife.
That was Winston Churchill. You know, these people are trying to take down his statue. They don't even know who he is. They probably don't even, never read anything he said or anything. That was a speech that he gave about facing the Nazis head on, facing the threat head on. So, you know. Now, there was a Washington Free Beacon had an article about saying that Biden had voted to protect segregated private schools and with, you know, from tax-exempt status. And Alana Goldminer wrote this up, and she had noted that Biden voted to allow racially segregated private schools to keep their tax-exempt status in the late 70s, a stance that put him at odds with the Carter administration and drew criticism from civil rights groups at the time. Biden was among 54 senators who voted in the 1979 to keep the Dornan rider, a provision that barred the IRS from revoking the tax-exempt status of segregated private schools, sometimes called white flight academies, that had appeared in the wake of the Supreme Court's 1954 ruling integrating public schools. So, you know, Biden, these Democrats, they've been playing these games because, you know, their instinct is to, you know, be racist. That's their instinct. That's what they are. You know, they flipped the script there at the late 60s, and people bought into it, and I don't know why. I don't know why. They have done nothing. They have done nothing. And as far as what these races are, what I still haven't seen yet, you have all these people, they're all protesting about, you know, obviously police brutality and that Black Lives Matter and that George Floyd was murdered by the cop, which he was. That was a horrible thing that cop did. That was absolutely, psychopathic, I believe, for him to do that. I mean, he has zero empathy for another human being. You know, that's not the way we are. But some of these Marxists are, and some of these Islamists are. They do not have that empathy. They do not have that feeling for life. You know, which makes this whole thing even more threatening and frightening, and which is even more incredible that no one is speaking out, no one is standing up, nobody is ready to fight yet. But we can't wait too long. We can't just wait for November 3rd, and you know, go out to vote in between the rubble and the bubbling and steaming mass that's left. Our state governments, our county governments, and our federal government have to step up here and end this national embarrassment of these rioters burning everything down over a man that doesn't exist and over an issue that certainly is debatable. Systemic racism, and you know, I just don't see it, and especially in police forces where maybe nationally And in all the major, you know, all of the Democrat places, you know, they're over 50% not white. You know, but that's what I don't understand. I don't understand why Black Lives Matter hasn't focused on the people that have really failed them, because all these riots, most of these riots and most of these problems are in Democrat-controlled states and Democrat-controlled metropolises, cities, big cities like Minneapolis, you know, and, you know, Camden and New York City and Los Angeles and Houston and, you know, just go around to what's happened, you know. But then there's all this removing these monuments. You know, first they say, well, we want to get rid of the Confederates. But no, they want to smash all remnants of history because it's so evil. It's irredeemable, right? That's what Hillary called us, right? Irredeemable deplorables. Why? Because we believe in this system. We believe this system can work. That from generation to generation, you strive to be better. You strive to have a better government, to reach those ideals of equal justice under the law, of equal opportunity. Opportunity. Not guaranteed food and jobs and, you know, like the mob does, right? They do a no-show pay job. You know, you get paid, but you never have to show up. I mean, I guess that's what they're looking for. But Victor Hanson Davis, he's criticized conservatives for agreeing some of these Confederate statutes. And I don't know why the Democrats aren't the focus of the anger, because they're the ones that have created this nightmare. The current nightmare and the nightmare in the African-American community. Obama did nothing for that community. I know that firsthand from people I know. And friends, not just from, you know, reading stories and news articles and so on and so forth. It's just, there was nothing done. Nothing. They were too busy sending jobs overseas, making deals with China, Ukraine, Russia, Iran. Hence our problem. You know, Trump is the shaker-upper. Trump is blocking their plan. He's just he's just a big problem. It's just a big problem. But Hanson said, the mob says back to conservatives, you want it gone? Why waste the city council vote? It's sort of like the Soviet Duma has to ratify a prejudged conclusion, and it's not, quote, let the city council come to any conclusion they want. And, you know, and it's, you know, Paul Mieringoff wrote, in Powerline, that this is a rather facile way of getting around the distinction between lawful removal of a statue and unlawful removal. No conservative I know suggests that statues should be removed based on ratification of a mob's decision, nor should one assume that a city council that votes to remove a statue isn't reaching the conclusion it genuinely believes is the right one. And that's another thing, you know, there's so much vitriol, so much hate going on. People being fired from their jobs for turning the wrong way, saying the wrong thing. It shouldn't be this way. There has to be debate at some point. But the National Guard's been redeployed now to Washington. I saw that they had built some fences around the St. John's Church, which was defaced again yesterday. And, you know, around the area of the White House and around the statues there. And so the National Guard's there. We have to, you know, I don't know. You guys could, if you see something going on or they're reporting anything on TV, I can't look at the moment. But, you know, there's hundreds of troops in Washington, D.C. are all mobilized. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt requested the action earlier this week as protesters target statues and other historical markers. And I hope and pray, I am hoping and praying that Trump follows through and everybody gets their 10 years when they can prove that these people are defacing federal property, American property. You know, people always forget, you know, Trump is one thing Trump understands is that it's we the people, that this whole government, the Constitution, was written to give us the power. The Constitution was written to rein in the government. You know, that's probably why we need a convention of states again, which I just started. I just joined, and I'm getting back active again, because we need to reestablish states' rights, and we need to shrink this government. You know, shrink this government. Not so we can have Democrats have slaves again in the South, because we never want the Democrats to have slaves again in the South, or Democrats to put people in the back of the bus, or Democrats to get violent or intimidate people the way Democrats do voter suppression. You want to talk about voter suppression? They're the artists of it. They created the KKK to intimidate people from going and voting. African Americans who were registered Republicans would show up to vote, and they'd be met with a line of the Klansmen, you know, with their little pointy white hats. And they would basically have a choice. You either vote for who the Klan told you to vote for, it was a written ballot, so you know they were going to see it, or walk away and go home, or die. Those were the choices that were given by Democrats to African Americans, not by Republicans, not by my family, not by anybody I know. But the Democrats certainly did that. And that's the problem. But Twitter, you know, Twitter just won't stop. Twitter just won't stop. Jack at Twitter, he will not stop. They're censoring President Trump again. And they've censored him this time for saying he'll enforce the law. Now, Twitter placed a public interest notice over a tweet from President Donald Trump on Tuesday, claiming the tweet about law enforcement was in violation of Twitter's policy against abusive behavior. Despite the violation, Twitter allowed the tweet to remain accessible for the sake of public interest. And it says right here, that it goes, this tweet violated the Twitter rules about abusive behavior. You know, forget the Muslim terrorists, the Jew haters that are out there on the internet, because, you know, as a Jew, I noticed that. You know, I guess I understand if you're not Jewish, you don't really notice how much vitriol and hate there is out there. But, you know, I see it out there. Now, that's real abusive behavior, because these guys threaten your life. They threaten your life. They send nasty pictures. They do all kinds of stuff. Very threatening on Twitter. And Twitter does nothing about them. You know, if they want to burn down the United States, Twitter's cool with that. And this is a problem. But, you know, Twitter's determined, this is from the note, that it may be in the public's interest for the tweet to remain accessible. And this is what he wrote. Donald Trump wrote this yesterday. There will never be an autonomous zone in Washington, D.C. as long as I'm your president. If they try, they will be met with serious force. That's abusive behavior. The president stating that he would do what his job is, which is unbelievable. You know, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there has been a flood of people, a flood of individuals On their way. Anyway, it is past the mid mark, and anybody wants to call in, the number is 515-605-9344, and I got a caller on the line now. Caller, what's your first name, and what do you got to say? 203 area code.
Oh, hi. I really didn't mean to ask a question. I just called in to listen. I haven't heard you in a while. So glad to see you're still on.
Yes, how are you? You. That's good. Well, you can listen on the phone if you want.
I haven't been listening to your show for a while. I'm just, it's really disconcerting, all of the craziness, and I just hope, I don't understand why they're not doing anything about it.
Exactly.
I just don't get it.
Years ago, you know? It's not like it hasn't been clear, you know, we've been talking about this for years, this whole violent Marxist socialist coalition and what their intent is. And it is very frustrating to watch it just go on. You know, these mayors, these Democrat mayors and governors, right? You just see them. They stand to the side. The one in Seattle, they just stand to the side. Oh, in fact, the Seattle mayor, right? She was the one that said it would be a summer of love. So,
yeah, you got to be some kind of stupid to say these things and never vote anybody
that stupid
into office. And, you know, they will gravitate, though. The stupidest of them all want to run the country.
Yeah.
And,
no, they are. They really,
they
really
never
get
that far.
They're very ignorant. You know, the funny thing is they were trying to go for good media theater, political theater. You know, they wouldn't have been knocking the statues down of abolitionists, of ones that represented the change and the end of slavery in America. They wouldn't have knocked down people that had fought, like Ulysses S. Grant. He led the war against the Democrat South to end slavery. And you know, they're kind of, you know, they kind of tipped their hand because they're not interested in making America better, right? They're interested in destruction.
This is very, you know what? This is just a party for them. This is all it is. It's a party. They're having fun. It's fun to light fireworks. It's fun to get out there and
throw stuff,
bash buildings down. Why not? It's fun. It's and that's it. There's no cause.
No, it sure doesn't seem like it. And like I was saying earlier, you know, they're fighting against somebody that doesn't exist. You know, they've defined Trump to be a certain number of things that I don't believe he is. And, you know, they're out there, you know, like he's the second coming of Pol Pot or Adolf Hitler. And he certainly is not. You know, no matter what you think about him, his economic choices and his international trade or his foreign policy or whatever, he's none of those things that they call him. It's pretty sad. It is pretty sad. But it's good to hear from you. You hang in there, okay? I'm glad you came back to listen.
Yeah, I will more often. Thanks.
Right. So, that was nice. Good. Oh, fans coming back from the past. That's what I like to see. But, you know, they keep going after Trump. You know, he can't talk. They want to take his things down. Isn't that like interfering in the election? Isn't that like trying to influence an election? I don't know. Something ridiculous about that. But there is good news every once in a while. And you know, something that Trump has done, there was actually a big win. It's considered a big win for all Americans. Federal judge upholds Trump hospital price transparency rule. And they were going after him. Now, it was reported... Sarah Carter's page, a staff writer, put together these notes, AP notes, and says, big victory for patients. Federal court upholds hospital price transparency. President Trump wrote on Twitter on Tuesday, patients deserve to know the price of care before they enter the hospital. Because of my action, they will. This may very well be bigger than health care itself. Congratulations, America. Trump, he's so grandiose. So, but Judge Carl Nichols granted the administration's motion for summary judgment on Tuesday, meaning it would not go to trial. In November 2019, the Trump administration announced historic price transparency requirements aiming to increase competition and lower health care costs for all Americans. The hospital industry argued, of course, didn't they, that the rule wouldn't help patients understand their out-of-pocket costs, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services proposed the rule in 2019. And because we are disappointed to today's decision in favor of the administration's flawed proposal to mandate disclosure of privately, why would they want to hide the rates? With the rates of the rates? You know, it makes no sense, but it's just typical of the swamp, typical of the problems that we've been having. And there's been a lot of talk about, the prosecutor that was fired the other day, Berman. Right. And, you know, they got rid of him. He was a temporary appointment while they were working on getting somebody through. And, you know, they've been holding up a lot of, you know, Trump's appointments, whether, you know, in a lot of different departments. You know, we have the resist faction, you know, the Marxist Islamist coalition's resist faction. And they're resisting as much as they can. But this fired prosecutor, apparently, he was given Biden-Ukraine allegations in 2018, but didn't follow up. Emails show. And just the news reported, good old John Solomon, he said that could the impeachment scandal have been prevented if the now fired U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman had followed up on Ukrainian allegations about Joe Biden and his family in 2018? That's the tantalizing question raised by emails from the fall of 2018 between an American lawyer and a chief federal prosecutor in Manhattan that were obtained by Just the News and John Solomon. The memos show that well before Ukrainian prosecutors reached out to Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's lawyer in 2019, to talk with the Bidens and alleged 2016 election interference, they first approached Berman's office in New York in October 2018 via another American lawyer. The memo show Little Rock, Arkansas lawyer. Oh, wait a minute. Who's from Little Rock? Who's from Arkansas? Yeah, you guys know, right? Anyway, this lawyer, Bud Cumas, and former U.S. attorney himself, probably a Clinton appointment, reached out at least five times in October 2018 to Berman seeking to arrange a meeting with Ukrainian prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko. Now, Lutsenko, who emerged as a key figure in the impeachment scandal, wanted to confidentially share with federal prosecutors in New York evidence he claimed to possess that raised concerns about the Bidens' behavior, as well as alleged wrongdoing in the Paul Manafort corruption case. Now, that's ironic. Now, Prosecutor Lutsenko is offering to come to the U.S. to meet with high-level law enforcement to share the fruits of investigations with Ukraine, which have produced evidence of two basic alleged crimes, Cumas wrote Berman on October 4, 2018, one day after the two had talked on the phone. The allegations included that Joe Biden had, quote, exercised influence to protect Burisma Holdings, unquote, after his son Hunter and his son. We all heard all this already, right? But the fact of the matter is we were talking about it, we heard about it, because it's true. It's true. And, you know, they were trying to say, well, Trump reached out for Russia for help, China for help, everybody for help. He reached out to Ukraine for help. I mean, it's ridiculous. The fact of the matter is there was criminality in this relationship between Biden, Hunter Biden, Burisma, and the Ukrainian government. So, you know, now you know Biden lied. I mean, this is just, you know, Biden came out and he made specific statements and he lied. And, you know, I heard, you know, Hannity was out pounding the drum about the Durham report coming out and all this stuff going on tonight. Well, I hope we start to see some indictments. At the very least, they should be organizing grand juries to take evidence and decide whether there's grounds, you know, for a case. I don't know what's taken them so long to get some of these things off the road, whether you want to look at Benghazi, okay, or you want to look at Lois Lerner at the IRS when they did an organized hit job on 43C charities that were either conservative, Tea Party, or pro-Israel, or Jewish. That's who they were attacking. That's who they were tying up to win the 2012 election, which Romney gave it away. I thought Romney did good in the first debate, and then he just fell apart. Maybe they paid him. I don't know. Seems like they paid him the way he's marching with the Black Lives Matter now. I mean, somebody paid him, or they got pictures of him doing something. You know, I don't know. It just seems to roll on. It just seems to roll on. But the fact is, you know, Joe lied. But anyway, I guess you guys saw, too, the other day, Seattle mayor, the wonderful, the incredible, the greatest mind of our generation, right, Jenny Durkin. Well, she said Monday, this is from the Seattle Times, she said Monday that the Seattle Police Department will be returning to its abandoned East Precinct building, quote, peacefully and in the near future, unquote, following a weekend in which three people were shot at the edges of the protest area that has emerged around the building. Now, Durkin said, and is she not an absolute administrative genius? Durkin said that the city would attempt to phase down nighttime activity at the Capitol Hill organized protest area known as CHOP, earlier as CHAZ. I call it CHUMP. but would not be using police to clear the zone. Rather, Durkin said they'd ask people to leave the area voluntarily at night, offering resources for homeless people and working with community groups to try to cajole people into leaving the area. This woman, if anybody from Seattle is listening to this, this woman should never be reelected, okay? You know, it's the same way I felt about Madeleine Albright. You know, she always looked to me like a kindergarten teacher. You know, here she was, Secretary of State, dealing with the toughest communist and Marxist regimes in the world, and they were laughing as she walked away. Every time. Bill Clinton should have been embarrassed. But, you know, she's saying it's time for people to go home. And it's time for us to restore Cal Anderson and Capitol Hill so it can be a vibrant part of our community, Durkin said. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If they get these people out of there, the residents and the businesses that are there, they may burn her house down. Because this has been absolute mismanagement, absolute incompetence in every single way, and totally abdicating your responsibility. Totally. You know, she better not be a role model for anyone in the future. Now, you know, Greg Jarrett and his staff put together a really funny article about her called "Welcome to Earth, Mayor Durkin." After chop zone murder, mayor asked police for help. You know, and now it's going to be worse because they've been ensconced in there for you know, over a week. And they're going to be fighting for their territory, which they stole from the people that live there and the people that have businesses there and the city. And the city let them take it. The city let them abuse the people that live there, abuse the businesses that do business there. How can this woman, she should resign. She should have enough self-respect and concern about her constituents that she just screwed over, that she should just resign when this is all done. If they get those Marxist Islamists out of that city, okay, she should just resign. But the problem is already that, you know, CHOP is shrinking, they reported late this afternoon, but the demonstrators remain. And Paige Cornwell of the Seattle Times staff had noted that with the return of the Seattle Police Department to its abandoned East Precinct building looming, which means they haven't gone in there yet, right? Because the cops know this is going to be a nightmare. These guys are loaded for bear. They all got weapons. Now, the Capitol Hill organized protest, CHOP area, was shrinking Wednesday, but a group of demonstrators say they have no plans to leave the site. I guess the cajoling didn't work. "Our demands aren't met," said one man who had set up a tent outside the precinct building at 12th Avenue and East Pine Street. "Why would we leave?" They refuted a tweet that the official CHOP Twitter account posted Wednesday that the CHOP project is now concluded. It's unclear who runs the Twitter account, which signed a letter as the Capitol Hill Solidarity Committee and included a call to reelect Major Jenny Durkin in 2021. I mean, are you kidding? This woman should resign. These people should get her out of there. She should be impeached. I swear, don't you people think that she's got the people that live in that community that have just been tortured, beat up, raped, robbed, humiliated, you know, controlled by this. They're not just anarchists. These are specific Marxist Islamist coalition members. These are the soldiers of a, you know, people want to say that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are not organized. They're much more organized than people are giving them credit for. You know, there's a lot of rumors going around that Barry's like calling the shots at the OFA. And when something happens, you know, he's organizing it really fast and getting everybody involved. But they're communicating. Believe me, they're backing each other up and they're communicating. It's just insane. But I just hope the Seattle Police Department, to really be honest, did you see the police massacre last night? It was just horrible. And I just hope it doesn't happen to these Seattle cops. That they go walking in to like reopen their precinct, and all of a sudden they are put upon by these sick ignoramuses, because these are some of the stupidest people I've ever seen run a revolution. You know, I have to admit, they are just some of the stupidest people I know running a revolution. So, you know, but it's incredible. You know, Minnesota state rep said that Antifa and the Muslim groups plan to police Minneapolis under Muslim rule. It would have sounded far-fetched just weeks ago, but now it doesn't anymore. Well, I've been talking about this for decades, okay? Everybody that knows me is sick of my whole story, okay, about the Nazis in World War II, you know, working with the Egyptians, the Syrians, and the Iraqis, and then the forming of the Ba'ath Socialist Party, B-A-A-T-H Socialist Party, and then that morphing into these governments based on the Nazi model. You know, when Hitler and the Mufti of Jerusalem were together, and they have a common enemy, you know, philosophical enemy in the Jews, and they just get along so great, and it's continued. It was never broken up, and it's been together a long time. It's like Antifa has had, believe me, they made some peace with the neo-Nazis in Europe. Now, as the city of Minneapolis moves to dismantle its police force, Minnesota State Rep. Steve Green on Tuesday stated the obvious, that virtually everyone else has been tiptoeing around and pretending isn't there. He said, "What you're looking at, in my humble opinion, is communism moving into Minneapolis and St. Paul. And not just communism, but the leftist Islamic alliance." Now, they're stealing that from me because I've been saying the Marxist-Islamist coalition, you know, for quite a many you guys that know me, I've been talking about this for months, years. Now, Green asserted that Antifa and the Muslim organizations plan to police Minneapolis under Muslim rule. Those who scoff at such a notion simply are paying attention to the recent developments. And that's why I don't think Martha McCallum, the mayor of Seattle, and a lot of other people are really grasping what's happening right now. I don't think they really grasp, okay, that, you know, they're voting to abolish police force. They're cutting funding for the police. The police are the only thing standing between most citizens, except for armed citizens and conceal and carry citizens. The citizens that aren't armed, all they have is the police to protect them from these violent Marxists, these violent Islamists, and these criminals. I mean, you don't have anything else. We're going to defund them. I mean, is that insane? I mean, that's like a bank robber coming in and saying, well, you have to, you know, because I'm a Chinese and you're being racist, that you have to eliminate police at all banks. Okay, because it's racist. In case I walk in and they think I'm going to rob the bank and I need to rob the bank. But, you know, this whole thing's going to come back and bite these Democrats in their butt. These progressives, they think they can control this mob that's boiling all over the country. They think that Alice Sharpton and money coming from Soros through MoveOn.org going to the Black Lives Matter and to the other street gangs, they think they can control that. But they can't. And last night, a Wisconsin state senator was reportedly assaulted during a protest that toppled the statue of an abolitionist. That's because these people are geniuses, okay? They're all about the end of slavery. They're all about racial equality. And who did they knock down? An abolitionist. Somebody that fought and probably died to end slavery that was being perpetrated by who? The Democrat Party. Now, a Democrat state senator said he was assaulted outside the Wisconsin Capitol on Tuesday night after protesters toppled two statues, including one created by a pioneering woman sculptor and another of an abolitionist who died fighting in the Confederacy in the Civil War. State Senator Tim Carpenter told Milwaukee Journal reporter at the scene that he was attacked while taking a photo of protesters on his way back to complete some late night work at the Capitol. A picture posted, he was trying to cover something with his wife. A picture posted by the reporter Lawrence Andrea showed Carpenter doubled over on one knee in apparent pain following the incident. He goes, "I don't know what happened. All I did was stop, take a picture, and the next thing I know, I'm getting 5-6 punches, getting kicked in the head." You know, that's what we're facing right now. You know, don't be deceived. We have to stand up, patriots. We have to stand up. We have to wake up because this is real. You know, this isn't just a bunch of, this is not a grassroots movement. This is an organized Marxist, Islamist coalition riot. It's been going on for weeks, and it's got to end. You've been listening to Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irvin. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, when the going gets tough, the faith.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the June 24th, 2020 episode of Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review, and I want to really appreciate the support that everybody gives, whether you get to me live. It's normally Sunday night at 10 p.m., Wednesday night at 10 p.m., and I might add some other ones. But, you know, if you can't make it live, you guys that are going back, you can save the same link. If you get the link, you know, from Facebook or Twitter or Parler, you know, save that link. You can check out the podcast anytime. I think 10 minutes after the show, the podcast is completely downloaded and ready to replay. So you can listen to it anytime. You can listen while you're driving. You can listen to it while you're in the bathroom. You can listen to it with the family sitting around the fire at home in the winter, of course. You know, I really appreciate the support all these years. And, you know, we've got to stand up for what's right. You know, give me liberty or give me death, as they say. And just remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith. Thank you all.